the book of Jude this morning, Lord willing. And you're trying to find the book of Jude, go Revelation, and just back up, and it's a little tiny book packed between the Johns. So, as we study the book of John, and the encouragement that he has for us to be aware of what's going on around us. And I know, you know, for a long time, I've always knew that things were going to get worse. I don't know about you, right? You read the scriptures, you know things are going to get worse. And then all of a sudden I act surprised when things get worse. Right? As we look at these things and what's going on in the world today and how things are unfolding, don't be surprised. And we were warned in Scripture, and the encouragement is that Christ is still on the throne. And as the world is doing its thing, right? Don't be surprised when the unsaved act like the unsaved. Right? Don't be alarmed. They don't have Christ. They don't know his words. And they're ignorant of these things. And they're going to do what they want to do. But the thing that gets me and makes me sort of cringe when those who call themselves religious go along with it. With those who say, I stand with Christ. Those who say they love the Lord. And yet get involved in the things of this world, who condone sin. And we're seeing that all around us today. And Jude saw that coming. And Jude saw in his day, things were bad. The church was being persecuted. The Christians were somewhat kind of lost, I think kind of like we are. And they're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And how much longer is this going to take place till the Lord comes back? And I don't know when the Lord's coming back. Hopefully soon. But at this point, the Lord has called us to be faithful. And as we look at what's going on in the world and we wrap up the book of Jude, I wanted to take it and kind of twist it into a sort of a positive note. And because the sermon title is really odd, it says, But You. And I got this because growing up, my mom didn't let us do what all the other kids were doing. And we would try to pull Tommy's mom, lets Tommy stay up all night. Right? Try to pull that trick. Well, you know, Susie's mom lets her go to this, and my mom was pretty hardcore. And so my mom would turn around, and she had this famous saying. I can just hear this all the time. Well, if Tommy's jumped off a bridge, would you? Right? Or if Susie jumped off a bridge, would you? It's because everyone else is doing this. Does that mean it's okay for you to do it? And one day, as I got into my teenage years, and I got a little bit lippy one day, she said, hey, if they all jumped off a bridge, would you? And I said, well, how high's the bridge? And things were different back then because all I know is I saw the back of my mom's hand and I saw stars. By today's standard, it'd be child abuse. But I learned being very careful of what I said to my mom. But just because everyone else is doing it, does that mean you should do it? The answer, of course, is what? No. We see this laid out through Scripture that we are different from the world. And in America, in our society, we've been pretty cozy with the world. And for a lot of it, they had the same values our neighbors did. They had the same goals as our neighbors did. All these things. And yet, what's happening today is a quick acceleration of anti-God, anti-Scripture propaganda being brought in to this country. And I think the church is finding itself in a position because they're like, hey, this is wrong. And the world's trying to tell you, oh, no, this is okay. We're on Facebook Live right now. I think we're on live, right, Mark? Is it working? Okay, good. And, so people can listen to this and they're like, I don't like this, I can go somewhere else. You can find people who will tell you what you want to hear all day long. You can find people who will encourage you in sin. There are people who will speak in the name of God and tell you that it's okay, it's just a choice. And God's okay with it. Folks, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And just because all everyone else is doing it doesn't mean you do it too. But you are different. You are chosen. You serve God. So as we see the world go in one way, we're called to go into another. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Come out from them. And you know what? Part of what we do today, we don't even have to really kind of do that. All we got to do is stand firm. If we just stand on what is right, you know what? The world's shifting away from us. If you just keep believing what you've always believed as you read the scriptures and serve Him, if you just stand still, the world is shifting so fast, you're going to find yourself lost in the dust. Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean. Don't fall for it. Jesus says this, and He said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. Jesus is talking to disciples, and He talks about the idea of leadership and authority. And this world has authority. We're seeing this today. The heavy hand of government is coming down and forcing us. Because they have the power. Because they can. You know, always a firm believer that government always kind of works better when we have a mix of the parties. Because if nothing gets done, I figure the less the government does, the better off I am. Maybe that's just a libertarian in me. But right now, we are having one party force so much through by the slimmest of margins, not caring at all what the other side thinks and says. Just ramming it through. Why? Because they can't. Because they got the authority right now. And I'm tired of hearing, you know, the elections has consequences. It does. That's why you need to get out and vote. But folks, we need to realize that's the way the world deals with authority. And Jesus, but not you guys. But not you guys. As Christians, we are here to serve and minister to. And the more authority you have in God's kingdom, the more you serve. The more you give. You talk about the idea of sin in this world. Ephesians 5:3 says, but fornicators and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints. Because of what so much of this world is doing and the road that's going down, Christian, as dear saints of God, we should have no part of it. That means there's TV shows we shouldn't be watching. There's music that we shouldn't be listening to. There are events that we should not go to. And you might say, hey, that will make me sort of different. Well, guess what? You are different. And it's hard, especially, you know, I understand those who have kids. You know, we did it once with our oldest, and there were things that said, look, we can't allow you to go to this. We don't allow you to watch some of your shows that your friends do. We don't allow you to listen to some of the music you do. I know it's hard on you because you want to fit in, but you're not like them. You're different. As we said, the world's going to do what the world is going to do. The unsaved are going to act like the unsaved. Don't be surprised. But Jude here is really writing to those who are the false teachers, those who claim to know God and are teaching falsehood. Not far from here, we have churches who hang the cross on the door, but do not preach the truth. We have those who are apostate, those who were of the faith and now who are outside the faith, now throwing rocks back in. And we've seen this today. that it is not popular to be a Christian. And actually, we're the cause of the problems of they want to point to. And we see that as Jude wraps up his book, what he points to, he uses very harsh language describing those false teachers and those who say I'm godly, those who say I represent God, and yet all what they do and say goes against the very nature of God. They're empty and they're self-serving. We see this laid out. Jude, verse 12 and 13, says these are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up in their own shame. Wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This is really harsh language. He lays out these things. First one, he goes, your spots on your love feast. And what the love feasts were is what we would call communion. The church would gather together, and what they would do is they would have the communion service, right? You have the bread and the juice, and they would celebrate that. But it was part of a larger service that when they got together and they eat. I miss our potlucks. Now, my waist, not so much. My waist enjoys it because we have such good cooks here. But it is great to get together and eat together and serve each other and laugh. I mean, something happens when you're together with food, right? And you get to know each other. I remember years ago, you know, one of the potlucks, there's a family who had just was traveling through, and they stopped, and they go, oh, wow, food. And they came over, and they ate, and they looked at it, and they're walking out, hey, I'm so glad you stopped. And they're like, we're glad we came too. And I said, well, hopefully you felt at home. They said, let me tell you something about this church. I said, uh-oh, what? And he goes, you know what? I think your people like each other. I think they like each other. And I'm like, they do. And it struck me, right? Because I've been in churches where they tolerated each other, right? I mean, I've been in churches where the pastor said the last amen and the suction from everyone running out the back door was so much, it almost just pulled you out, right? It is great to be together with God's people that you not only just love in the Lord, but you like and enjoy. And they would have this fellowship. They called it the love feast because they loved each other and they loved God. They would celebrate each other and celebrate the communion, what Christ did for them. And that was all a part of a thing. And what he points out here, Jude does, is look, these ones come in and they fellowship with you. They partake in this love feast, but you know what? They're all about themselves. Of what they have, or what they brought, what they eat, or what they can get out of it. How they can be served, and not how they can serve. Watch out for people who are like that. Bible says they're empty clouds that drift around and blown about, but have no rain. There's no substance to it. You know, midsummer, and your grass is all withering up. And you see the cloud coming. It's like, oh, great. And then it just kind of whoosh right by, right? It's all fluff. There's no substance to it. It doesn't benefit anyone else. So they're empty clouds just floating by, with nothing inside to give. He says they're dead, fruitless trees. So at the end of the year, you nurture the apple tree and not a single piece of fruit comes from it. They take, they don't give. I've had tomato plants that are this way. Now I take care of it. Now that's the extent of my gardening. Right? But you get the plant, you take care of it, you water it, you nurture it, and then what happens? You get nothing out of it. What good is it? It says they're twice dead. Their roots are torn up. They don't get anything from the source. They're not drawing from God. They're dead on the inside, and because they don't give out anything, they're twice dead. Talk about the raging waves who whip themselves up. You see the right? That's sustaining. They froth themselves up, all bluster, but no benefit. And it says, finally, it said they're wandering stars that's doomed for darkness. What good is a star that doesn't give light? These are all self-serving. And the Bible says that these ones will be judged. Jude goes through that list and warns us. And in here, the call goes out that those who go down that path, we need to warn them, be cautious, because there's destruction coming through. Jude 14 and 15 says this, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and have all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." Notice time and time again here that call goes out. The warning is of the ungodly, of those who don't strive for Christ, those who haven't accepted Him as their Lord and Savior. That in here, their ways are destructive. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ways of are the ways of death. Right? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many find it. And our nation right now is heading down a broad road to hell. And it's trying to suck in as many as we can. Just before the service, we're talking to someone about this cancel culture. That if you don't just line things up just right, if you just don't say the right thing, this society will want to cut you off and cancel you out. And what they're trying to do is tell you to shut up. It's probably not polite to say. Right? But that's what they're trying to do. They don't want you to speak up. They want you to be afraid that they're not going to like you. They'll unfriend you. They'll take you off. I told you, someone said, "Oh, you're on Facebook." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Are you going to get off?" I said, "No, as long as we can go out and broadcast and tell the truth, we'll do that." Now, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these times Mark's back there waving and says, "Hey, they've killed us off there," right? But you know what? I want to stand because we are on the winning side. God's going to judge them, but you are different. You're not like the world. You're not like those false teachers. You want to cling to the truth. You're here this morning, I believe, because you want to hear the truth because you love the Lord. And in your Jude has that gem right in the middle of it. Notice what he says, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. They execute judgment on all." And what he's alluding to is the Lord returns. Right? Now before that happens, I believe the rapture is going to take place. God's going to take all his children and take us home. Woo-hoo! Years ago, I can't remember who it was. It was a famous preacher was traveling. This is back when they had the old steamboats coming across the ocean. And one was an elderly gentleman, and another was a young protege of his. And they had rooms next to each other. And the young guy one night couldn't sleep, and he was listening, and he heard this squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. He's like, "What in the world?" And he noticed it was coming from the older gentleman's room. So out of concern, he goes over. It's pretty early in the morning. Goes over, knocks on his door, and he listens. All he hears is squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. So the guy knocks again. No answer. He's like, "Oh, he's very concerned." He opens the door. He sees the guy jumping on his bed. He goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Rapture practice." He just couldn't wait till the Lord comes and the Lord takes him home. Hopefully you're that way. Lord, come quickly. I'll tell you, as I see what's going on in the mess of this world, Lord, come quickly. Lord, how long will you let sin go? How long will you let our children suffer at the hands of this filth that's being pushed down and crammed down? And every day it's like, "Well, it couldn't get any worse." And the Bible says that when the Lord returns to judge this world, right? The rapture will take place. We'll go up into heaven. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have this great feast with the Lord. And then the seven-year tribulation is going to take place. And then the Lord is going to return. And Revelation tells us in chapter 19 that he comes back. And guess who's with him? We are. See, God promises to let be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, that when I die or when he comes to take me home, I will always be with him. He says, where I am, there you will be also. We'll never have to say goodbye again. And we'll be with the Lord. And when the Lord comes back in his judgment, we'll be with him. The Bible says that we'll come back with him. And as he rules out his judgments, we will be there as well. Paul encouraged young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. It says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. God has not appointed us to wrath, but those who are faithful to him will rule and reign with him. And during the millennial kingdom, we will be here. And I'm putting in word that, Lord, I want to rule and reign over the Bahamas. Just for 1,000 years. Woo-hoo. I don't know how it's going to work. I'd take Hawaii. But we will rule and reign with him. We don't need to be like the world because we're not. And encourage each other of what the Lord has in store for us and who we are in him. We're not like the world. So they heed their own words. Look what it says here, verse 16. It said, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. We're seeing how they are trying to control the language of what you can say and what you can't say. Just this past week, this whole gender neutral thing has just gone into Crazyville. There's a school now that's pushing, encouraging that you can't say mom and dad anymore because it's offensive. Like, what? And we're pushing the stuff and saying it's right, and they're trying to intimidate and trying to cause fear and they're trying to cause doubt with their words. You know, sort of the whole idea of political correctness is the ability to talk without saying anything for your fear of offending. I found myself just the past couple weeks, you know, walking through town. The weather's been getting nice, so I'll try to get out and stretch the legs a little bit and talking with people who are out enjoying the weather. And I found myself talking to my friends and neighbors around town, and I found myself all of a sudden, they're whispering because we want people to know what we're talking about. What's wrong? And we see this pushing the agenda, pushing the verbiage. You look at the news, it's funny how they all use the same terminologies, right? They're all in cahoots. A pushing the agenda. But not you. Right? You're not going to fall for all their words, their fancy talk. You're not going to fall for that. And you're not going to play that game. But not you. Why? Because we heed the words of God. His word is truth. Jude 17 picks up on this. Says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken to you before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what God says. And that's all you got to do. Put on the helmet of salvation. Lord, protect my mind with who I am. I belong to you. When they're throwing that garbage that there is no difference between men and women, Bible says what? God says he created a male and female. Right? When God tells us, we believe it and we hold to it. Know his word. Folks, Christians, saints, beloved, it is imperative for us to know God's word that will recognize the lies of the enemy around us. And boy, he's blasting it. But not you. Remember the words of God. Romans 3, 4 says this, certainly not indeed. Let God be what? True. Here, I want you to say that again. Indeed, let God be what? True. But every man a liar. It's interesting because God doesn't take a vote on what's true or not. I mean, I remember years ago I heard a preacher say, you know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. So I always say that for years. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I believed that for so long. And then I heard a pastor get up and said, you know what? That's wrong. I'm like, what? He said, God said it. That settles it, whether I believe it or not. I can't argue with that. God is true. I don't care how many PhDs, how fancy, I don't care how many people, I don't care if they're in the majority, I don't care how much money they have. If they are speaking things that is against God's word, it is false, it is a lie, because God does not lie. Period. End of it. Certainly not. We have the hope that God's word is true. Jesus himself prayed for us. In John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your, what? Truth. Your word is truth. I hope you believe that. You know, they want to push the Bible as being old-fashioned, out of date, irrelevant. Let me tell you something. In here's the words of truth. It's the words of life. That in here I find truth of how to be a husband, how to be a father, how to be a citizen, how to be a Christian, all these things, how to please my Lord. All in here. I hope you're in it. See, the world just loves to hear themselves talk, but not you. You love the Word of God, and you will cling to it. Last point here is they love themselves. Jude 18 says, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to your own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. They love themselves. They love their own pleasure. I love this. It says, these are sensual persons. These are people who are led by their feelings. Who are led by their feelings. A couple years ago, we were vacation Bible school here, and there was a young boy who was coming. And it was funny because we were going up, and he wasn't behaving himself well at all. And I was like, hey, you know, sit up, you know, listen, you know. He goes, I don't want to. I said, well, tough. Sit up and behave, right? And he goes, well, I don't feel like it. He goes, I don't feel like it. And he goes, you know, my mom tells me I don't have to do anything I don't feel like doing. And like I said, I grew up in a slightly different generation. And I was like, you know what? I don't care how you feel. I often have feelings. Now, feelings are good. Right? Pleasurable feelings. I like. Even sadness helps me process situations around me, right? Feelings are a gift from God. God gave us our emotions. They are a good thing, but they are not used to steer us and guide us because our emotions are all over the place. Disney might say, follow your heart, but God says, our heart is wicked and deceitful, blah, 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 so who can know it? I can't trust my feelings. I got to keep my feelings in check with what? The Word of God. And through those things, cause division, not having the Spirit. Folks, the Spirit of God wants to draw us together. You know what he says here? But you, here we are. That's the way the world is. But not you. Why? Because you love God. And the love of God comes in through us and flows through us to other people. Jude picks this up in verse 19. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves there, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I serve him. Why? Because I love him. It's a powerful thing. Right? I mean, it's funny. Have you ever been around other people that, other kids that weren't your own and they drove you nuts? I'm asking for a show of hands. That's okay. But you turn around and your own kid does it, you excuse it. Why? Because I love my kid more than I love these other kids, right? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Right? Why does my wife put up with me? Not because I'm easy, because she loves me. Okay. I didn't hear an amen. That's all. That's all. Okay. Right? And because I love God, the Apostle Paul put it this way, he says, the love of Christ constrains me. And I feel that way, that, you know what, the way I feel and what I want to do, and I'll tell you, through this whole COVID thing, there are certain things I love to say, but the love of Christ has constrained me. There are things in the flesh that I would probably do, but the love of Christ, because I love Him, I want to do what's pleasing to Him, and I want Him to be pleased with me. Because I love Him. And that love turns around and notices how it changes, because all these ones, these false teachers, these ones who are apostate, those who wrap themselves in the cloak of Christianity, but they're dead inside, all these ones are all about themselves. But what happens when the love of Christ comes into me and dwells in me, what happens is all of a sudden that love now comes out. And Jude picks this up. In verse 22, it says, and some, having compassion, making a distinction, but others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. See, because of the love of Christ is in me, that I am compelled now to reach out to others. And some people around us need our compassion. Making a distinction, making a difference, because in here, there's a lot of people who are confused because they don't know the truth. Right? And as Christians, these people don't deserve our judgment. What they need is our compassion, because they don't know better. They're consumed by sin. They're a prisoner of their own passions. And what they need to do is for us not to be judging them, but through compassion, reach out to them. And I'll tell you, if we turn around and say, Lord, give me a compassion for souls, it will transform your life. It will. Because you'll see people different. And when you see people who are just in bondage, in darkness, who are lost, they need a Savior. And it's not like, you know, I'm so smart, I figured it out, and I have God, and you don't. Not at all. Except for the grace of God, there goes me. I didn't come to Him because I figured it out. It wasn't because I was so smart. It's because His mercy was declared to me, and I responded to it. Any good you see in me is Christ. Any of the garbage you see in me, that's me, and He's still working on it. Right? And there's a whole lot of me still left. Tuesday night Bible study, 6:30, next door. Come on out. We had a musical night. We were singing all night long. Paul started singing, but Gloria started it, and I started singing along with her. That would probably force people away. Pastor singing? No. But right? But we started. I think the first song we started singing, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You guys know that? Took them just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. You know it. How loving and patient. Help me out. He must be. Because He's still working on me. Right? God's working in us. That's His mercy and His love towards us. And folks, if we love Him, then we'll love others. Because His love extends to them as well. And some, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. That, folks, there are some people who are so engulfed in sin that I need to go to them and pull them out.
And folks, sometimes being involved with the unsaved is messy. Sometimes loving the unsaved is hard and difficult because they'll turn on us. They'll bite us, right? They'll hurt us. And yet, because of the love of Christ, I'm compelled to reach out and love them in their sin so that God, through me, may save them. Even though I hate the very things they're doing. Let me tell you something. Part of me, I see what's going on, and I'm like, you know what, world? I'm done with you. You know what? You guys want to go down this road? Okay, Lord, just come. Let me lock my doors. Help me just love the Lord and keep the world away. I'm tired of it. Have you felt that way? I'm tired of it. You know, I'm on Facebook, and I'm sick of some of the stuff I see, and some of it I'm hiding, and some of it I'm just like, ah! But Lord, use me while you can. And folks, to save others, sometimes we have to go into the world and pray the Lord protects us as we do that. And he closes this portion up. The book of Jude wraps up with this wonderful prayer. And I just want to break this down because sometimes, you know, okay, you know, the pastor's wrapping things up and he's praying and you guys aren't even listening to what the pastor prays at the end because you're like, okay, the sermon's done. Now I get to go eat and now I just got to wait for this. And you're like, okay. So you don't really listen sometimes. But I think it's important for us to take a look at what he says here. He wraps things all up. It says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. The first part of this, notice what he does. It's God who keeps us. Why should I serve God? Why should I have my loyalty only to him? Christian, I want to wrap this up. Look, don't serve anyone else. Don't be allured by the world. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And Jude wraps this up with all the things you have in him. And what you have in him is so much better than what you'll have in the world any day. It says that him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's God, it's Christ, the power of him through us that keeps us from stumbling. I don't have to fall back into sin. I don't have to stumble around in the dark. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He will follow us. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He will show us and guide us and direct us, and he can keep us from messing up. And if we do, he's the one who picks this up. And folks, you don't have to worry about being perfect. I know a lot of Christians struggle and they figure like I've blown it and I'm done. No, it's his work in us. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who holds us. Second thing is to God our Savior. He's our Savior. He's the one who saves us. Jesus died for you. I know we all quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But you know what? You could almost change that verse and say, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. He did it for you. And if you were the only one, he still would have done it. That's how much he loves you. Says he knows who alone is wise. God's the one who knows. Don't listen to all the talking heads, the latest philosophies, with all those PhDs and all those other things, folks. God who knows. And he's the one to be trusted. You know, it's hard to believe, a year ago today, was our last service in-house before everything happened. And no one saw it coming. Everyone was caught by surprise, except God knew. And God already knew how all this was going to play out and how it was all going to work out. All we were called to do is follow him. He is the wise one. And lastly, he is the one who reigns. It says, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. God is still on the throne. And God has a plan and is falling out in front of us. We are the chosen generation to face this day, to face these challenges. We are the ones. And he is still my king, both now and forever. That he is the one who contains all the glory, all the majesty. It's him. And why should I live my life to serve anyone else after all he's done for us? And he wraps this all up with a word of agreement. He says, amen. Let me ask you something. If you agreed with God's word this morning, let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, the world's going to do what it's going to do. And Lord, it's scary. It's heartbreaking. But Lord, you've called us to be different. You've poured out your blessing upon us, Lord. You've poured your love upon us, Lord. Help us to be diligent, to heed your voice, to follow your word, Lord, to love you and serve you in all that we do and say, even in these dire times. Lord, especially during these dire times. And Lord, I pray you keep us from falling. Hold us with your righteous hands until that day you come. And Lord, when you come, pray you find us faithful. Lord, we ask this in your name.